Good morning. Welcome to the Roundtable and our discussion with Jesse Filer. Jesse joins us to talk about the self-publishing world today. Authors are taking publishing into their own hands using the self-publishing tools we now have. And guess what? This is what authors have been doing for a long, long time, but the technology is changing. We'll talk about that technology in just a moment. Jesse Filer is a developer, consultant, and author specializing in Apple technologies. He's the creator of Minutes Machine for iPad, the meeting management app, Saranac River Trail app as a guide to the trail that includes location-based updates as well as social media tools. As a consultant, he's worked with small businesses and nonprofits on projects such as fine arts, production control, and publishing. It is always a pleasure to have Jesse Filer before our microphones. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. Pleasure to be here.
Really nice to have you. So all of this came out of, I know that, I'm going to work on your microphone here just for a second to make it just a little bit. Yeah. I there we go.
Okay. Can I speak now?
Yeah. This is what I do in my part time. You work on the... had the guest not just left, we would have had your fitting, and it would have been better, but we didn't have time for that. Okay. It's great to have you here. Let's talk about publishing and self-publishing and what this world is. You come to this from an interesting place because you've been working on this project, having to deal with Uta Hagen, which I just, a friend of yours?
Yes.
And that's cool. You know that's cool, right?
She was a very close friend. Yes. I never thought of Uta as being cool.
No, but the idea that you had that access and you get to work on this legacy project, that is cool.
This is a great project. And it actually is an example of how self-publishing fits into the whole world.
So you worked with her on several of these projects. So give us a sense of how that worked and now what the project is that you're ultimately working on.
Uta was a great actress and teacher, and she died in 2004. And she wrote two books on acting, Respect for Acting and A Challenge for the Actor. And they are classics in the field. They sell, I think, Respect for Acting, I think, was in 1983, and they still sell wildly. They're used in many, many courses. Because she knew what she was talking about, and she wrote wonderfully well. It's very informal, very clear, and they're translated into all sorts of languages. And she also worked on a couple of other projects. I worked with her on the second book, on Challenge for the Actor. I worked with her on incorporating the edits and cleaning up a few things and just generally doing some cleanup work.
Yeah.
And it was fun. We worked together. And as part of that, out of that grew the fact that she had written a history of the HB studio where she taught. And it had been updated over the years. And I said, well, why don't we, this was back in the late 90s, I said, why don't we publish it? This was before we had all of these tools. We had the technological tools. We could produce PDF files and things like that, but we didn't have anything like bookstores for e-books, and we didn't have e-books and so forth. So we worked on the studio story and revised it, and I sort of put it aside. I said, well, it's wonderful we have this PDF, and what will we do with it? And so that's where the studio story came into it. Meanwhile, she wrote a memoir called Sources, which was published by a small publisher in New York and did very nicely. But as happens to books, it went out of print.
Yes.
So we have her two books on acting, which are in print and seem to be doing very well and will stay in print for a long time. And we have the studio story, which was published by the mimeograph machine in the HB studio office and sold, as I recall, for $1 to students who wanted it. And then we also have Sources, which is out of print. And time caught up with us, and so we had these documents and PDF files that I worked with her, and so we looked at the self-publishing tools that we have now, and I said, she's gone now, but I said, you know, we can bring these books back. We can, instead of mimeographing the studio story, we can print it as an ebook. And which we did, And if people want to buy it, it's very, very, it's, you know, it's a very specialized book. So as often happens with specialized books, it's very expensive. It's $1.95.
Yeah. So because it's just you have the file and you access the file.
And we could do it. And a lot the editing work basically was done when Uta was alive. We were working on that.
Yeah.
So that's available in Apple Books. Then for sources which went out of print, I had at one point while Uta was alive and it had just gone out of print, I said, you know, why don't we publish it as a PDF file? Which was a great idea, except that PDF was sort of a dead end then. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we're still using it, but you know, what do you do with the PDF file? Tell people, oh, you can download this and so forth, and that's the end of the discussion. You've lost them after that. The word download is sort of the end of the discussion for many people. But now we have bookstores, and we have ebooks, and we have the self-publishing tools that mean you can take a PDF file that's edited, written and edited, which we have with the sources, and you can format it for one of the ebook bookstores, and that's where we are with sources. It's in the process of, it's edited. I think there's one sentence I'm still fussing with. And
I don't know you as a fusser.
Don't get me started.
Okay,
what this is? It's been a long conversation.
I know you'll get it right.
It is right. It is right. It is exactly the way Uta wrote it. This one sentence.
Yes.
And I agree with what she wrote. And there has been a discussion with the copy editor.
Okay.
And we won't go into that.
All right.
But it's printed correctly. If people who are in the publishing world know what I'm saying.
Absolutely. Oh my God, yes. So in our time here in the 4 or 5 minutes we have left, so let's talk about what this ultimately means for people who are interested in publishing either their own work or other things that perhaps like this have fallen through the cracks and aren't available to people that perhaps should be.
Yes. The first thing you do is you need to, if you don't have it written already, you need to write the thing.
Yeah, get it. Do that.
And especially if you're recovering books that are out of print or that have maybe not been formally published, you need to write it and make sure you have the permissions for everything involved, the words and any photos. That's a big sticking point when a community group decides we're going to publish, you know, a history of the Saranac River Trail, part of which is a project on the back burner. But mm-hmm. one of the issues on that is we have all these wonderful photos of people on the trail. And the question comes up and says, do you have releases from these people so that you can use their photos in a book? And that, just as the word download is often the end of a discussion about using PDF files, release is often the end of a discussion here. So the moral on that, the reason I always bring it up when I'm talking about this is if there's any remote possibility that you're going to use these photos in the future, get a release before it's too late.
I want to just quickly go through something. We only have 2 minutes left, so I don't want to take away the time we have here. But I mean, self-publishing, one of the things that it's missing often is that idea of what you were working with as a copy editor,
Absolutely.
An editor, and the importance of the editor in this process.
The importance of the editor, and in two ways. First of all, we know from all sorts of projects, not just publishing, that the author is the last person in the world to edit a manuscript because you're too used to it. Your eyes look at it and they correct anything that's wrong.
Right.
So someone else should do that. Preferably a professional copy editor. But that's one of the two most important things. The other really important thing is the cover design, because especially if something is being published as an ebook, and we now have tools that you can publish the same book both on print and as an ebook, but particularly with ebooks, more so than in physical bookstores, I would venture to say, the cover is critically important.
Do we judge a book by its cover?
Let me write that down. That's a very good thought.
it's good for it to pop out on that screen if you're looking at Apple Books or whatever bookstore you have.
And if you're looking at it in a bookstore,
yes,
it's really important, because in the bookstore, not only can you see the cover, but if you have slight interest, you can pick it up, get an idea of the heft of it, how long it is, and look inside it. And you can't do that on an ebook store.
It's a great point. You have a lot of great points and a lot of neat things that you have up on your website. It is champlainarts.com, and people can find all the links of the stuff we've been talking about and find out much more on the subject, which is a really interesting one.
Yes, and it's not the end of it. We'll be hearing more about it.
Well, good. I look forward to that as well. Jesse Filer provides consulting services to small businesses and nonprofits. Once again, his website, champlainarts.com. Jesse Filer, I always love when you were in our studio. Thank you.
I enjoy it.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.